Welcome everybody to Grace Community Wednesday night service. Thank you all for being here and thank you all for tuning in online. I know we still got a few people out that have COVID and we got some other people out for different reasons. I know my mom's not here. She's got an upper respiratory infection and there's a few people that are sick. So don't forget to be praying for people. There's a lot of people that need our prayers right now. Let me go ahead and pray for us, and we'll just get right into this week's message. Father, I just thank you for the message that you laid on my heart. I think it's a much-needed message, Lord. I needed to hear it myself. And I just pray, Lord, that you would open hearts and minds to receive it and apply it to our lives, Lord. And Father, we just turn it over to you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. I hope everybody's having a good week. I've had a pretty good week so far. It's been really busy, but I like busy weeks. It helps the time go by quick and you get things done and you get a good feeling when you get something accomplished. If you was here last week, we started a message on examples, and it's carrying through into this week. We started looking at examples in the Bible of people that we can learn from, you know, both bad examples and good examples. Our main verse last week was in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. It says, you know, that these things were written down for us, for our example. They are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. So those things were written down for our example so that we wouldn't make the same mistakes that they made. You know, that passage of scripture, if you didn't catch it last week, is in 1 Corinthians, pretty much the whole chapter 10 is talking about the children of Israel when God led them out of Egypt, you know, brought them out of bondage and slavery and led them into the wilderness, and how most of them, almost all of them, didn't make it into the promised land because they were, you know, unbelieving. Even though they saw God doing miracle after miracle for them, you know, they were still unbelieving, and they heard God's voice, and they were just disobedient or, you know, complaining because they missed their old lifestyle of sin that God brought them out of, and they would just rather go back into their old lifestyle, go back into bondage and sin rather than live a godly life and be obedient to God. Like I said, if you missed last week's message, you can read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, or you can just look it up on YouTube, on our YouTube page. It's mainly focused on bad examples and how we can learn from them and not make the same mistakes that they did. This week, we're going to talk about and look at some good examples and how these examples will help us grow stronger in our faith and give us some tools so that we can be more grounded in our faith and not give in to compromise in our faith but stand firm in it the way that we're supposed to. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 tells us, you know, to be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So it says not to be conformed to the world, but be renewed in our minds. We live in a society today where peer pressure is just intense. You know, it seems like everybody is walking on eggshells, afraid of saying the wrong thing and being, you know, cast out of a social group or cast out of a circle of friends or, you know, to just be unpopular or unliked. Everybody seems like they're walking around in that fear of rejection because of peer pressure. And, you know, we like to blame a lot of that on social media. And social media, you know, it sure don't help things. It don't help matters. But all social media does is amplify what's in our hearts. The problem is not social media. The problem is in our hearts. And social media just gives us a bigger mouth to speak with. Jesus said himself in Matthew chapter 15, in verses 18 and 19, he says, but those things which proceed out of our mouths come forth from our hearts, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, and false witness, and blasphemies. In another place in Matthew, chapter 12, verses 34 and 37, Jesus says, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. So social media isn't the problem. It's just a tool that we use. Our hearts are the problem. And like I said earlier, you know, a lot of bad and hurtful things we say come out of fear of rejection because of peer pressure. From our friends, from society as a whole, I think a lot of us would love to grow more in our faith and be more bold in our faith and speak up for our faith, but we don't because of fear of not being accepted. Because, you know, if we voice our faith, if we stand up for what God's Word says, you know, we'll go against the grain of what's popular, and we're afraid that, you know, people will reject us because we're not fitting in with the in crowd. That's why Romans 12:2 is so important. We can't be everything God wants us to be if we're conformed to the world, if we're always just going along with what is easy and going along with what is popular. You know, we'll always be afraid of offending the world or offending our friends or whoever it might be if we stand firm on what God's Word says. We can't be afraid of offending people with the truth of God's Word, or we'll never stand in our faith and we'll never grow in our faith. As long as we're fearful of sharing our faith and proclaiming our faith and letting people know that we are Christians, then we'll never grow in our faith and we'll never mature in our faith. Peer pressure is one of the biggest tools of the enemy to keep us from being obedient to God. You know, we like to think of, most of the time when we think about peer pressure, we just think that that's something that our kids face in school, something that we faced in school when we were in school. And they do face that in school, just like we did when we were in school. But peer pressure is not just for the kids. It's not just for the young generation. It affects all of us. It affects every age group. It affects every social group. You know, if God's word goes against what's popular in any group, it creates that fear of being cast out and rejected if we don't fit in. You know, no matter what age you are, there's peer pressure still causes that fear in you that if you don't go along with the crowd, that you won't be accepted. And peer pressure is nothing new either. It's all through history. And if you study it, it's always been used for evil. It's never been used for good. It's a tool of the enemy, like we said a minute ago. You know, I said a while ago that social media is not the problem. It's what in our hearts. We either do and say the things we do out of an evil heart, like Jesus said in Matthew, or we do and say them out of fear from peer pressure. And long way before social media, there was peer pressure. You know, not long ago in our country, you know, look at the racial problems we had back in the days when Martin Luther King Jr. was trying to bring peace. You know, I'm sure there was a lot of Christians in that day that were afraid to be friends with or help anybody that was an African American. It wasn't that they didn't have love for those people and care about those people, but they feared the crowd. They feared the peer pressure, and they didn't want to, you know, suffer the consequences of going against the grain of what was popular in that day. So a lot of people rejected those people and treated them the way they did out of fear of the crowd. Or if we go even further back than that, you know, it's popular to hate each other just because you were from the North or the South during and after the Civil War. You know, just like I just said, I'm sure there was Christians on both sides of that, in the North and the South. I'm sure there were Christians all praying to God to help them. You know, they think God's on their side, and they think God's on their side, when in reality, God is on his side. He's on the side of truth, and that's his word. And, I believe that people forgot all about the slavery issue, and Satan, through peer pressure and hatred, just filled people on both sides, filled their hearts with hate for each other, simply because of where they were from. You know, if you were from the north and you went down south and people found out that you were from up north, they didn't know anything about you, but they hated you just because of where you were from, because that's what was popular in the south, to hate people from up north. And if you, the same thing, if you were from the south and you went up north, they would hate you, call you all kinds of names just because of where you were from. And that's what peer pressure does to us. And like I said, I'm sure there were Christians on both sides, north and south, but both of those sides were blinded to God's word by peer pressure and fear. And we still see the effects of that today. You know, that's been 150 years ago. And we still see that kind of a mindset in people today, just over north and south. And that's sad, but true. You know, we can't let fear or peer pressure dictate our faith. We have to let God's word decide what is right. Like I said a minute ago, you know, there can be this side and this side, but if neither one of them are standing on God's word, both those sides are wrong. We have to let God's word decide what is right and what is wrong, and be obedient to him, and just trust God with the consequences of being obedient to him. You know, I said all of that just to get to today's scripture. And we're going to look at a passage that shows how peer pressure, I don't know why I have a hard time saying that, but apparently I do. We're going to look at a passage that shows how peer pressure and fear can affect even the leaders of the church. You know, it's not just children, it's not just new believers, or like we talked about a second ago, but that can affect anybody. In the book of Acts, God gives Peter, this is a backstory on the scripture that we'll be talking about tonight, but in the book of Acts, God gives Peter a vision that all people were accepted in the gospel. You know, Peter had a vision, he had a kind of like a trance, and he saw this sheet coming down from heaven, and inside that sheet was all kinds of unclean animals and stuff, and God was telling him, you know, take these animals and eat. And Peter's like, not so, Lord, I can't eat that. Those are unclean. And God told him, what I call unclean, or call clean, is not unclean. So after Peter had that vision, that's what we're picking up in the scriptures. You know, up to this point, the gospel was considered just for the children of Israel, and the Gentiles weren't included. You know, a Gentile was anybody that wasn't an Israelite, that wasn't a Hebrew. You know, that includes the Greeks or all the other countries around about them. But when Peter got that vision, that was God telling him that even the Gentiles could be brought in through faith in Christ. So that's what we're going to read in Acts 10. We'll start in Acts 10, verse 28. It says, and he said unto them, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation, but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. That's what God was showing him in that vision. And in verses 34 and 35, he goes a little further in explaining that. It says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. So God's showing him over and over through faith in Christ that anybody could be accepted through Jesus Christ when they receive the Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 10, verse 45, that's where it talks about them receiving the Holy Spirit. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. And that's talking about the Jewish people when it says they of the circumcision. The Jewish people were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And if we skip on forward to chapter 11 and verses 17 through 18, it says, "Forasmuch then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? For when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then had God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." So God made it very clear to Peter and the people that were with him that the Gentiles now were accepted through Christ, you know, through faith in Jesus Christ. But when Peter got back to Jerusalem, you know, you've heard me talk about the scribes and the Pharisees and how they made up a lot of their own doctrines and stuff, and a lot of them didn't have faith in Christ. A lot of them still wanted to be under the Jewish law. And they still judged people by the law. So there were still some Jewish people in the church that didn't accept the Gentiles unless they conformed to their Jewish customs. And what we're fixing to get into shows us that Peter was afraid of the Jewish leaders. You know, he had peer pressure. When Peter got back to Jerusalem, when they would have gatherings and stuff in the temple or wherever they were gathering, when they would eat and stuff, Peter would sit and eat with the Gentiles because God told him that they were accepted. So he would sit with them at those gatherings. But if he heard that the Jewish leaders were coming, he'd get up and go eat with the Jews because he was afraid of what they would say or what they would do if they saw him eating with the Gentile people. Even after receiving a vision from God, that even God himself accepted those people and saw the proof of it through the Holy Spirit, he let his fear of these people become more powerful to him than what God had said. He let his fear of those religious leaders, you know, keep him from doing what God told him was the right thing to do. And I think we see a lot of that in the church today. You know, I thank God all the time that here at Grace we're known, or we have a reputation for accepting the people that the world looks down on, or that the world rejects, because we do believe in the power of Christ. We believe in forgiveness, and we believe in redemption. And what God calls clean, you know, we call clean. We believe in the power of Jesus. We believe when God forgives somebody that they're forgiven and they're accepted. But, you know, a lot of the church as a whole don't see things that way. Who God says is accepted should be accepted. You know, Romans 10 and verse 13, it says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And like I said, I believe the church as a whole in this country has a tendency to still look down on people because of their past. And people are worried, like Peter was, about what will people think if they see me hanging out with them. That's why Paul is our good example for us this week. I want to share with you out of Paul's letter to the Galatians how he handled that and how we should try to handle peer pressure too. I'm going to read some scriptures out of Galatians chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 16. And I'm going to read these verses out of the NLT because it's just a whole lot easier to understand and a lot easier to read when you're reading that many of them. But if you want to look it over when you get home, that's where they're at. It's in Galatians 2, verses 1 through 16. And this is Paul talking. It says, "Then 14 years later, I went back to Jerusalem again, this time with Barnabas, and Titus came along too. I went there because God revealed to me that I should go. While I was there, I met privately with those considered to be the leaders of the church and shared with them the message that I had been preaching to the Gentiles. I wanted to make sure that we were in agreement for fear that all my efforts had been wasted and I was running the race for nothing. And they supported me and did not even demand that my companion Titus be circumcised, though he was a Gentile. Even that question came up only because of some so-called believers there, false ones really, like the ones I just talked about a minute ago, who were secretly brought in. They sneaked in to spy on us and to take away the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. They wanted to enslave us and force us to follow their Jewish regulations. But we refused to give in to them for a single moment. We wanted to preserve the truth of the gospel message for you. And the leaders of the church had nothing to add to what I was preaching. By the way, their reputation as great leaders made no difference to me, for God has no favorites. Instead, they saw that God had given me the responsibility of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as he had given Peter the responsibility of preaching to the Jews. For the same God who worked through Peter as the apostle to the Jews also worked through me as the apostle to the Gentiles. In fact, James, Peter, and John, who were known as pillars of the church, recognized the gift God had given me, and they accepted Barnabas and me as their co-workers. They encouraged us to keep preaching to the Gentiles while they continued their work with the Jews. Their only suggestion was that we keep on helping the poor, which I've always been eager to do. But when Peter came to Antioch, this is the part I was talking about, it says, but when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him to his face, for what he did was very wrong. When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile believers, who were not circumcised. But afterward, when some friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of criticism from these people, who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. As a result, other Jewish believers followed Peter's hypocrisy, and even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. When I saw that they were not following the truth of the gospel message, I said to Peter in front of all the others, since you, a Jew by birth, have discarded the Jewish laws and are living like a Gentile, why are you now trying to make these Gentiles follow the Jewish traditions? You and I are Jews by birth, not sinners like the Gentiles. Yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Jesus Christ so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. I know that was a lot to read, but I think that explained it really good, better than I could. So I just figured I would read you the scripture. So it said that Paul noticed that what was going on and knew it wasn't right. You know, I like the way he handled it, though. He didn't go gossip about Peter, and he didn't make a bad post about Peter on Facebook or Twitter. He didn't even go to talk to the people that were leading Peter astray, the people that Peter was afraid of. It says he went to Peter face to face. Back in verse 11, it says he went to Peter to his face and talked to him. It says, but when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him to his face, for what he did was very wrong. And I don't think he, you know, had a big argument with Peter. I think he simply reminded him of what God had said, and that he should be obedient to God and not be a respecter of persons, like Paul just said that he wasn't. And when we give in to peer pressure, that's where division and rumors and gossip and all that other stuff comes from. If you go back to verse 13, it says, as a result, other Jewish believers followed Peter's hypocrisy, and even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. So, you know, when you give in to peer pressure, people are going to follow you. You know, other people follow you, and that's what causes division. And it also causes resentment towards the ones that don't join us. And they're simply doing what God called them to do. You know, we'll resent them for being obedient just because we didn't have the faith or the courage to be obedient ourselves. You know, when we give in to our fear, we give in to peer pressure, and somebody else don't, then it in our minds, like we talked about a few weeks ago, that makes us look bad. So we'll start resenting people for doing what's right. So Paul wasn't condemning to Peter. He was simply reminding Peter what God said and who he was in Christ. All through his life, Paul was reminding people who they are in Christ, and not to be fearful of the world or be conformed to the world, or not to be, you know, to give in to the peer pressure. And he was always encouraging people to stand strong in their faith. I love this verse in Romans 1 and verse 16. This is Paul speaking too. He said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So we have to be like Paul, especially in the world that we live in today. We don't need to be ashamed of the gospel. We need to not be ashamed of our faith. You know, Jesus himself said, if we go to Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." So, you know, it's dangerous to be ashamed of the gospel. No matter how strong the peer pressure is, how strong the contradiction is from the world or groups that, you know, we have to do with, we have to stand strong in our faith. We can't be ashamed of our faith. We should be the salt and the light that we're called to be. You know, we're supposed to stand out at work when others are telling bad jokes, when we don't give in and take part in those things. You know, our kids should stand out in school when they're not doing the things that all the other kids are doing because they know they're wrong. You know, we should encourage people to save their marriage instead of encouraging them to get divorced. You know, you see that a lot. People are having marital problems, and they'll go to another couple that are having marital problems too, and if I was you, I'd divorce them. No, they wouldn't. If they were going to do that, they would divorce the people they're with. You know, that's getting bad advice from people that are not living a godly life is what you always get when you give in to peer pressure and wind up going with the popular crowd or the wrong crowd. But we should speak the truth in love when we see our brothers and sisters doing things that are going to hurt them and lead them away from God. We are supposed to hold one another accountable. You know, that's why it's so important to be involved in our church community, to be, you know, a church family, to be the body of Christ. We have to support one another. Like I always say, we all have bad days. We all make mistakes, but we need somebody in our life that we can trust that can point things out to us that we need to address without getting mad at them. You know, we need to remember, like Paul says there in that verse, that our faith, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation. We shouldn't be willing to compromise that for anything. And we shouldn't sit by and watch someone else do it either. You know, we need to speak up when we see our brothers or our sisters going in a way that they shouldn't go, just like he did with Peter. We have to be willing to be like Paul did with Peter and have that hard conversation. I'm sure it wasn't an easy conversation, but it was a very much needed conversation. We got to be willing to have those hard conversations, those awkward conversations. Like I said, it's not easy, it never is, but it is very much needed. And like I said too, you know, not to condemn for what they're doing, but to just remind one another, hey, you know, God's word says this, and I'm getting concerned about you. I don't want you to go the wrong way and hurt yourself. You know, we need that in the church. I'm going to read some more scripture, and that's what it's talking about, is confronting one another when we see each other doing things that could be harmful to us. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 through 14, It says, don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. And don't participate in these things that people do. So Paul's encouraging us, you know, when we see people doing things that are not right, you know, don't take part in them and don't encourage them. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, awake, O sleeper. Rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So we can't just, you know, watch our brothers and sisters going down a path that's going to lead them astray and just watch them slip away from God. But like it says there in verse 14, we need to wake them up. You know, we have to be willing to hold one another accountable and remind one another, you know, who we are in Christ. You know, we need to remind each other, you belong to Christ. You know, God's word says we shouldn't be doing that. And if they're truly in Christ, that's not going to make them mad. They'll thank you for drawing them back into where they need to be. The more we give in to that peer pressure, the more discouraged we get. You know, I told you a few weeks ago, to discourage simply means to take courage out of. You know, just like encourage means to put courage in. To discourage means to take courage out. And the more we give in to peer pressure, the weaker that we're going to get in our faith until we don't even see ourselves as a child of God anymore. So we've got to be like Paul and trust God above all else and let his word be the deciding truth in all we do. You know, not popular opinion, not what the world says. They'll lead you wrong every time. I like this verse in Romans chapter 3 and verse 4. It says, God forbid, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou might be justified in thy sayings, and might overcome when thou art judged. So we can't go by what's popular. We can't go by people's opinions. We have to let God's word be true, and every man a liar. We have to let God's word be the authority in our lives and not compromise on it. You know, just like Paul was a good example, the only way we can be a good example is to be obedient to God. That's what Paul was doing. He was being obedient to God. And we have to stay connected to Jesus. In his letters to the Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 9, Paul, it sounds like a bold statement. You know, he says, those things which you both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You know, that is a bold statement. But Paul is telling the church here to imitate him, and the only way he can do that, or the only way that we would be able to do that, is by being obedient to God's word, and knowing that we've been obedient to God's word. You know, if you're living in disobedience, you don't want somebody to follow you, but if you're living in obedience to God's word, you can say that. What you see in me, what you hear from me, do, and God will be with you. And you can have confidence in that, knowing that you've been obedient to God. And we talked a few weeks ago, and Josh preached on it a few weeks ago too, about staying connected to Jesus and staying connected to the vine and not being conformed to the world or caving into peer pressure. John 15:5. You know, Jesus said, if you are not with me, if you're not part of the vine, then you can do nothing. He says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. And he that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So if you're struggling to be obedient to God because of a relationship or because of circumstances in your life, You know, if you're having a hard time being obedient because of fear of what people are going to think, or, you know, fear of being rejected or outcast, we have to do like Paul did. We need to have that hard conversation. And sometimes that's a conversation we have to have with ourselves, you know, between us and God. And that really is an awkward conversation. And sometimes it is in a relationship. Sometimes you just have to explain that I really want to follow God, but I can't with this in my life, you know. I'm giving my life to Christ. I can't do those things any longer. I can't live that kind of a lifestyle anymore. Thank you for inviting me, but I don't do that anymore. We have to explain to them what God's word says and why we have to be obedient to Him rather than give in to peer pressure and conform to what society says is acceptable. And that is hard to do. I had to do a lot of that in my own life, in a bunch of areas in my life, and in a lot of relationships in my life. But we can't follow God and be fearful of what others think at the same time. You know, there was a lot of relationships in my life I had to tell people, you know, I hadn't seen them in a while. Most of y'all know I was in a program for a year, so I didn't see anybody for over a year. And then even after that, I led a pretty sheltered life for quite a while, you know, focusing on staying here at the church and not putting myself out there because I wasn't spiritually strong enough to be out there. So when I did get back out there and started running into people from my past, they'd be like, hey, you know, just come on over. We'll have us a few beers or whatever. And, you know, that was the first thing I would have to tell them. I don't do that anymore. I gave my life to Jesus. And a lot of times, you know, people laugh at you. People, yeah, right, whatever. They don't believe you. But I stood strong in my faith, and I told them, no, I really did give my life to Christ, and I'm not doing that anymore. And some of them were accepting of it. Some of them weren't. But either way, I stood strong in my faith like God's word says to do. And that's what we're supposed to do. You know, I tell you all the time that God won't accept second place. He has to be number one. And the only way we can do that is to be obedient to Him no matter what the world is saying, and no matter what anybody else is saying. You know, I like Charles Stanley. I like to hear him preach sometimes, and he always says, obey God and leave all the consequences to Him. I think that's a really good saying. We have to trust God that when we obey Him, things are going to work out for the best. And we all know from experience that disobeying God never works out for your good. It don't work out for your good. It don't work out for anybody around you's good. But when we obey God, it works out good for all the relationships in our life. You know, there can, while I'm saying that, there can be peer pressure in our own families, in our own homes. Most of the people that I told you I had to have those awkward conversations with were people in my own family, you know, my brother and other people in my family. It's not easy. So there can be peer pressure in our own families. We can have fear of our own children rejecting us because we want to live a godly life and they don't think it's cool. They don't want to go that way. But we have to stand strong on God's word and explain to them, this is why we live this way. You know, it can be your husband or your wife. You can not follow God out of fear of losing them. I went through that too. And that ultimately wound up being the reason that I'm not married today. So I had to choose. You know, I can either stay married to an unbelieving wife or I can follow Christ. And I chose Christ. And I still pray for her every day that one day she'll surrender to Christ. You know, I may not be married to her anymore, but that don't mean God loves her any less. And that don't mean there's no hope for her. We just read a minute ago in Romans 10:13 that says, whosoever calls on the Lord. shall be saved. So that's why it's so important to have God's Word established in our homes as the ultimate authority. You know, that protects your marriage. That protects your children. That protects your home. And there's strength in that when you have a home full of like-minded people in Christ, and you're not the only one in the household with faith. If everybody in the house has faith, then you can stand together. You know, it says in Ecclesiastes that there's strength in numbers, you know, especially if you're all believers, if you're all like-minded, then it's a whole lot easier to walk in faith, to walk in a relationship with Jesus. You can share your faith at home. You can stand on your faith together. And if everybody in your home is surrendered to Christ, it shows the people and the world around you where you stand. You don't have to have a hard time proclaiming your faith and telling people that you're a Christian. They'll know that you're a Christian by the way you and your family live. So I'll close with this verse here. We read this last week, and I think we've read it for the last few weeks, but it fits in well with this message. You know, Joshua, when they did come out, or, you know, made it through the wilderness and got into the promised land, he was surrounded by peer pressure because a lot of the children of Israel started mixing in with the nations around him. So he had to gather them all together and tell them, you know, you're going to have to make a choice. You know, you can either serve their gods or you can serve our God, the one that brought us out of bondage, brought us through the wilderness, and gave us this promised land. And in Joshua 24, in verse 15, that's what he tells him. He says, if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day who you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We have to make it known, you know, as for me and my house, we won't compromise. We will serve the Lord. So, you know, if you're dealing with peer pressure anywhere, at work or in your family, in your a circle of friends or something, or even in the church, you know, it shouldn't be in the church. But if you're dealing with peer pressure anywhere, you have to get back to where God's Word is the authority. You know, that is the ultimate what's right and what's wrong. And we can't let fear of what people think keep us from doing what God says is right. So if you're struggling with that, you know, if you need to talk with somebody about it, find somebody that you know that's mature in the Lord and talk with them. Get some counseling on it, and they'll help you decide what you need to do in that situation. They'll give you some guidance. They'll help you make the next step. And be honest with God about it, and tell him, you know, in your prayer life, what you're going through. And like it says in James, he'll give you wisdom. He'll show you the next step too. And, you know, I told him last night that God don't always show us the whole trip. He won't show you the end of the road, but he will show you the next step. And when you take that step, then he'll show you the next one. And when you take that one, he'll show you the next one. Goes back to, like we always talk about in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. We can't lean to our own understanding, but acknowledge God in all that we do, and he will direct your paths. He'll show you what the next step is. So if you're struggling with peer pressure, that can be a big hindrance to your faith and your walk with God. And if you're having a hard time maturing in your faith, you know, that may be why. That held me in bondage for quite a while until I faced it and I had those awkward conversations and the hard talks that I had to have with people. And, you know, I came out of it, I was like Paul. I'm not ashamed of my faith. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of what Jesus has done in my life. I'll proudly stand up here and tell you what Jesus has done for me, and I know he'll do the same for you. So that's all I've got for tonight, and I hope that will give somebody some hope. I hope it'll give you some courage And I hope that you'll really will open your heart and your mind and let this sink in, because it will make a difference in your life. So let me pray for us, and we will be dismissed. Thank you all again for coming out. And don't forget to pray for those that are still sick with the COVID or sick from other reasons. And we got other people that are still grieving because they've already lost people to COVID or for other reasons. So keep those people in your prayer. You know, they need your prayers. Father, I just thank you for helping me get up here and preach your word again tonight. I thank you for the message that you laid on my heart. And I just praise you, Lord, for giving me the boldness to get up here and preach it the way that you gave it to me. And I just pray, Father, that somebody does find freedom in this. And I pray that they would find the courage to have those awkward conversations that we need to have, so that we're not getting stuck in our faith, Lord, ashamed to proclaim what we believe. I pray that you'd give us boldness to go out and be the salt and the light that you've called us to be. And I just pray that you would enable us to do that, Lord, through your Holy Spirit. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.